Many films over the years have become associated with specific holidays, and when one thinks of the Easter season, the biblical epic The Ten Commandments often comes to mind. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Cecil B. DeMille's epic 1956 film, The Ten Commandments, has become culturally linked for many to the celebration of Easter. To discuss DeMille's film and the translation of religious stories to the big screen, I'm happy to have on the program Gene Creel, retired lecturer at the University of Texas at El Paso, who taught courses on the subject of religion in film. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Jack. Thank you.
Great to have you in.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I should also mention that for years you taught cinema studies courses at El Paso High as well. I wish I could have taken one of those, frankly.
They were fun. They were great.
I wanted to start off by saying, you know, The Ten Commandments has been airing on ABC, I think, since 1973. Is this one of those seasonal films, though, that you first saw on television?
Yes, actually it is. And I think you're right. The Ten Commandments is so closely tied to Easter, and it is just about the only time of year we see it. Of course, right. Turner Classic Movies tends to run so many of these films, and Ben-Hur, another very, very well-known biblical film, which is only about 4 years later than The Ten Commandments. And yet you will see Ben-Hur often throughout the year, unlike The Ten Commandments.
And light years, those 4 years, a lot changed in Hollywood over that time. And it's a completely different style of filmmaking in many ways, both starring Charlton Heston.
Exactly.
But this is Heston early in his career playing Moses. Mm-hmm. I guess this should really be seen as the great Passover film. Because it is an Old Testament story. We're talking about the Exodus, the deliverance of the Hebrews from Pharaoh in Egypt, and, of course, their time in the desert, parting of the Red Sea. It is interesting, though, how certain films become attached to certain holidays, and I almost feel like when they're shown other times of the year, I feel like, oh, I can't watch that then. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like you can't watch It's a Wonderful Life unless it's Christmas?
Right. I can't imagine Miracle on 34th Street except at Christmas time.
That's right. But The Ten Commandments is not overtly Easter, but it's been attached for so long to this holiday. I'm wondering, culturally, though, what you think in this film allows it to endure the way it has. It's because it's obviously from 1956. It's coming up on a big 60th anniversary, yet people return to it. And it's 4 hours long, not an easy film to digest, particularly when you throw commercial interruptions in there. I think ABC has scheduled out 5 hours to present this film.
The Ten Commandments, It does seem dated, and yet the sheer epic size and scope of the film, and although, of course, there had been religious-based films and epic films for decades in Hollywood, this truly, truly was an amazing accomplishment. The sheer number of extras, the animals used, the cast, of course, is phenomenal. And I think Charlton Heston's performance as Moses just stands out and keeps the film fresh and new and still captivating for people. But as you say, the length of it is a little
daunting.
Awesome. Yes, especially for the time. Nowadays, our audiences are – our two-hour movie is pretty much the standard. You know,
but I think they're still expecting a 7 or 8 million share, which is 7 or 8 million people to watch this film, which is quite a testament to its own power. I think you're right. It does come across as dated, but in a charming way. I saw this a few years ago with an audience at the Plaza Classic Film Festival where we presented it. And despite its length, despite everything else, its magnitude, I think there's an earnestness to it that still speaks to people.
Right. I think, of course, we've seen the advent of some more recent films such as Noah and Exodus, which have received quite a bit of controversy and criticism, and people have also gone to see them as well. But in The Ten Commandments, you have a film that most people would say adheres as closely to the Bible story as possible, which was one of the major criticisms of the other more recent films. And I think that resonates with people. And it's something that most people are familiar with. And so the story is, it's almost comforting to know, you know how this is going to end, and there's a lot of trial and tribulation, but it speaks to people.
There's a lot of archetypes in this kind of story, and what you were just saying there triggered some thoughts for me that, you know, today it's all about comic book movies because the studios see that there's already a built-in backstory. You know, the population has already absorbed a lot of these through the comic books over decades, these stories and these concepts and these characters, so they can jump in and not have to establish them already. And I kind of think of, for the last 100 years in Hollywood, the Bible stories moving to film as filling that role in that studio moguls knew that a lot of the population would have already known this story, and their job is just to flesh it out with visuals.
Right, or maybe take it in a different direction. For example, with Noah, much of the commentary, criticism, whatever, the recent Noah, yes, was, oh, they've turned it into a pay on to the environment,
right.
You know, and some people thought, well, so what? You
right.
know, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's certainly part maybe of God's plan as well.
Well, these films, I think you bring up a great point. The more recent Old Testament films we've seen are still products of their time. And obviously, climate change, global warming, environmental issues are on the minds of many. And we might look at the Ten Commandments, Cecil B. DeMille's 56 version, as being timeless or adhering closely to its biblical source. But it was still of its time,
exactly.
At its time. DeMille certainly saw this as a film for the Cold War, the establishment and the story of two great powers, a God-fearing people and a godless people in his mind. And that analogy to the Soviet Union and to the U.S., I don't know if ABC is going to show his introduction to the film, but most of the full presentation of the Ten Commandments starts with a curtain parting and Cecil B. DeMille himself stepping out to introduce his film to the audience. And he makes it pretty clear that it is of its time.
Right, right. And when you consider 1956 and with, of course, post-World War II and the Cold War, I'm sure he felt it's time for us to go here, and I'm going to do it on a scale that will be impossible to ignore.
He was also, Cecil B. DeMille, who know his history, this is one of many films he made over the course of his life that are sourced from the Bible, usually the Old Testament, but not always, sometimes the actual story of Jesus. But, you know, I think like Walt Disney and the classics that he produced, both of these men were also driven not only by the historical perception of these stories in the populace, but the fact that they were public domain. They didn't have to pay rights to anybody.
That's true. Very, very
right?
true.
They didn't have to go pay somebody for the rights to their book. They had these stories. They were out in the world. And Hollywood also, when the Ten Commandments came out, this was also a period that saw an explosion, really, in the 50s of these biblically based films, which not only tie in with the Cold War and the rhetoric of its time, but Hollywood was facing a big threat too, specifically, which was television. And these were ways in which to put these bigger-than-life stories up on the screen that you could not at the time see on television. I think the special effects, certainly, they often return to the Old Testament, which is full of gigantic stories of destruction and God's wrath being visited, which allowed the studios to just unleash their special effects department. And certainly that's one of the things Ten Commandments is known for.
Right, right. And it's interesting the direction that it took. People were probably no longer interested in war film. We weren't going to see that again until the 60s. And so in the 50s, right, if you wanted spectacle, sci-fi still hadn't really hit its stride neither. And so you're right, the Old Testament was the place to turn.
You've mentioned the more recent mining of Old Testament stories, Exodus and Noah, the big budget, huge budget film with an environmental theme. I thought we would go back, and for those who maybe are not excited about watching the Ten Commandments for 5 hours on ABC, maybe there's some other religiously themed films that you might recommend or we could recommend to audiences.
Oh, really. There really are so many. And if you delve into that subject, I think you would probably be very surprised at the sheer number and variety, everything from animated films to foreign films, mm-hmm. and so on. One of my favorites is a Danish film from 1987. It won the best foreign language film that year, called Babette's Feast.
Mm, beautiful film.
It is a beautiful film. And other than the spectacle, we typically don't cite a lot of the religious-based films as being of particular cinematic quality. But this film is definitely one to see, both for the story and the content, but also for the beautiful cinematography. The final 30 minutes, at least 30 or 40 minutes of the film is just absolutely gorgeous. It's literally and metaphorically the feast.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful film set in the Jutland with two spinster sisters whose life is impacted by the arrival of a beautiful French chef. And
who's Catholic, I believe.
Yes, uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh.
For specific films that have to do with the life of Jesus, you know, we were talking a lot about Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments, but back in 1927, when he was making films in the silent period, I think one of the best films I've ever seen on the life of Jesus is DeMille's The King of Kings. It's a very heartfelt and intimate film, I think, much of what you appreciate about Babette's Feast. The intimacy of the faith presented in that is also evident in DeMille's 27 film. Any other thoughts? I know that you also like a certain website for going to find films based on religious material.
Yes, actually, when I was preparing for the course, I came across a website called spiritualityandpractice.com. You can just Google spirituality films. Mm-hmm. And it's a non-denominational website that lists and reviews both religious film and books. And they really stay away, I guess, from the term religion and focus more on spirituality. And so, as you can imagine, it's interpreted rather broadly. But they have, for example, the best spiritual films, the best foreign spiritual films. So it's just a wonderful playground to look around and pick and choose.
I think you're right. I've occasionally gone there myself, and there are overt religious films, but even for people who are not looking for Bible stories on film, they also aggregate their reviews on films that just deal with faith in general and mm-hmm. spirituality, and oftentimes in very beautiful films like Babette's Feast.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, well, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us about the Ten Commandments and spirituality on film.
Oh, thank you. It was delightful.
I've been discussing Cecil B. DeMille's 1956 film, The Ten Commandments, and other religious films built on Judeo-Christian stories with retired UTEP lecturer Gene Creel. For a list of other films we've discussed today and films that you might enjoy having to do with religion, log on to the On Film page at ktep.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.